On radio. On radio. More of the good stuff. CliffCentral.com. The Daily Maverick Show on CliffCentral.com.
Yes, it is the Daily Maverick Show with myself, Jonathan Sinclair, and my co-host, Tandor Daza. We are standing in for the Daily Maverick team who are on leave, enjoying their time off, refreshing their brains so they can come back and bring us the news that matters. I do see a message here on WeChat. A person is asking, has the Daily Maverick newsletter been cancelled? The answer is no. They are just taking some time off. So you will start getting that daily dose or your daily newsletter. I'm not sure if you are referring to the Cliff Central one, because there is one sent out by Cliff Central and there is one sent out by the Daily Maverick, but it is all linked. So early January, you will start receiving that again. Now, Tandor, how are you doing? I haven't even let you speak. How's it going?
I'm good. I've just got the flu, but hey.
Oh, summer flu is the worst.
Nothing can keep me down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how do you get the flu in summer? What's going on? Who are you hanging around?
Maybe it's because of you.
Perhaps.
You know?
My cold heart.
Yeah. I don't know, eh? Like, it's just been really, really bad. I've been sneezing a lot.
Oh,
I've been,
gosh.
Runny nose. Not good.
Oh, well, there is a lot happening in the world. There's a lot of sad news. Of course, this plane that went down on Sunday.
Yeah.
And I see that just breaking in the last couple of hours is that they have confirmed that several bodies, if not dozens, have been found.
Yeah.
I've seen the images on a lot of the news websites of the family just in tears.
Yeah.
And it really is heartbreaking to see
that.
Yeah. So we will be talking a bit more about that. We will bring it back home, of course. We're going to talk about the hard topic, but the very necessary topic of the Gauteng road fatalities. That is quite alarming, but it is down from last year nonetheless, which is quite a positive
sign. Very good, yes.
And then, Tando, I don't know if you heard about the story over the weekend of these pit bulls who attacked a man on the East Rand. A terrible story. Three pit bulls got loose.
Yeah.
The owner wasn't home. And if I'm not mistaken, it was actually a security guard. He was only 47 years old. So we'll be seeing what is going on there.
Devastating on Christmas even.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wow.
Very sad day. Then, of course, yesterday marked the one-year anniversary since Michael Schumacher's skiing accident.
Yes.
And there has been an update there. It is not as good as we had hoped the update would be.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
But thank God he's alive.
Yeah, that's
could have been worse.
Eh? Of course. Then, Tando, something which you were also wanting to talk about is Julius Malema's wedding this weekend.
Dude, yeah. There's, yeah, obviously quite a lot happened there. A whole lot of disasters and stuff. But I know you also know more. So
yeah, there was some controversy because apparently two of his best friends were not at the wedding. And apparently that was due to some sort of financial disagreement. So see what happens there. But, you know, I think the press is going to find any story like from the wedding. I mean, but I did see a picture of his bride. She looked very beautiful.
Yes, she looks very
are you going to say
modern?
Young? Do you want to say young?
No. Modern. Young. I don't have a problem with age differences, honestly. Mm. I really do not have a problem with people dating older people, younger people. Good for you. Do what you want.
For sure.
But yeah, also Sunday Sun revealed their best of celebs in 2004.
Yeah, all
which
the
is very funny.
Top celeb stories.
Yeah, those. And the whole Petrus Motsepe buying a new house.
Hey, but you know what? I think he deserves a new house. I mean, wasn't it 2 years ago that he gave away half his fortune?
69 million.
No, I think
69 million,
Patrice
yeah,
can buy whatever house he wants because he gave half of his fortune to charity just 2 years ago. So I say you go with it. And I also see, was it last week, Cyril Ramaphosa was using normal air travel to travel around with his family. He didn't have
Let's give them a hand.
He had no security delegation with him, a commercial flight.
Now that's what's up.
And if what I read is true, he paid for it himself, even though he is allowed to take that out of the taxpayers' money.
You know?
But also, I was very proud of him just over the last few months, starting, of course, from Mandela's funeral last year, where people were booing Jacob Zuma, and Cyril Ramaphosa really stood up there, and he took the leadership, and he said, remember your Ubuntu, and he really calmed the crowd down. And I don't know what we would have done at that funeral.
He's a true leader,
I know.
Without a doubt. You know, everyone's got their mistakes. I mean, this a few months ago, I mean, his company was alleged, you know, fraud. You know, there was rumors of fraud, whatnot. But in terms of leadership, he's a good leader and he's doing very well for South Africans that are willing to be part of in the political world, you know. And it's really good to see hope.
Did you see the little ad on TV he did where he wished the nation a happy festive season and urged us all to be safe and not drink and drive, etc.? And I thought, this is our president. You know, this is the man who really stands up there. And he's the one who appears in parliament and who is sort of the face of it at the moment. And I don't know. I trust the guy.
Where are the voters, though?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Where are the voters?
Well, we'll talk a bit more about that. But I really do feel like he has really made us proud this year. I'm very happy with our deputy president.
Yes.
And Tando, you've got a lot of other news for us, entertainment news.
Yes, and international news now. Lady Gaga went bold, like
me. Oh, my gosh. So, have you seen a pic?
Yes, I have. How it actually looks good. I'll show you shortly. I'll obviously talk about it later in terms of the description and what's it all about. Alicia Keys gave birth.
A baby boy, if I'm not mistaken. Wow, congratulations, yes.
And Chris Rock divorcing, sad news, really not funny.
And after many, many years, hey, I think it's 19, 20 years, Chris Rock and his wife getting a divorce. Maybe he just wasn't funny enough, I don't know. But then also, I don't know if you saw, they have announced, Times Live have announced the Mampara of the Year.
Yes.
And this particular person has won it for the third year in a row. Yeah, and we'll see who that was coming up a little bit later. And then something a little more serious, a health worker in Scotland has contracted Ebola. This has been confirmed. She came back from Sierra Leone and was then diagnosed on Monday. So, hey, this could be spreading.
Yeah, and ANC Yolanda Botha has passed on this weekend. Now, so, sad story as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of controversy there with her. There were some allegations, if I'm not mistaken.
They were facing charges of rental space with a few other officials.
Okay. So,
they're ANC officials.
And they obviously haven't said what she passed away from. I know the term used a lot is a long illness. We all then sort of guess what that means.
Yeah, it's metastatic melanoma.
Oh, gosh, that sounds like some sort of cancer.
It's a skin cancer which spreads to the brain.
Oh, gosh, that's actually terrible.
Yeah,
hey?
And apparently patients with that sickness don't live very long at all. So it was, allegations were dropped.
When exactly did she pass away? Was it over the weekend?
On the 29th. It was... Okay, I'll get my facts straight.
It must have been, I think it was over the weekend when I saw that story come out.
I think it was Saturday.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, that is very
sad. We'll speak about that more. And, yeah.
All right. So, all of this coming back after the break. We'll be right back.
Rock into the future with Gareth Cleef. Hydro Cafe. Since 31st December 2014. Featuring myself, O'Neill. Simba, Jen Sue, Miss Drew, and the Cliff Central crew. Cliff Rocks 2015, Joburg's premier New Year's Eve event.
Rocking to the future.
And we're back on the Daily Maverick Show. Myself, Jonathan Sinclair, and Tando Daza standing in for the team who are away. And Christmas is over. New Year's is literally tomorrow. My head is still... not
you turning up though.
Yeah, definitely. We
Where are
going to be
up?
Hard Rock Cafe.
Yes.
Hell yeah! Although we are going to be working for a couple of hours. I mean, somebody has to man the door, but I think it's going to be a huge party. We're all really excited for it. But the reality hasn't sunken in that Christmas is over and 2014 is essentially gone. Tomorrow it's over.
It's the 30th today of December. How crazy.
Just imagine.
How crazy.
How was Christmas for you? For me, it just flew by. There's such a big build up to it. And then it's over in a matter of 24 hours. It's just all that hype, the months of build up, and it's gone.
You know, for me, Christmas, I was not looking forward to Christmas. I will not lie to you. I wanted to be alone. I just, you know, you just have those days. And I was like, you know what, Mom's, I want to be alone. She's like, lady, you coming home.
Yeah, that's the thing. That you have to be with your family on Christmas Day. Otherwise, you're going to regret it. People are going to be insulted. Yeah.
Really?
No, for sure. I can't imagine breaking my mother's heart by not showing up for her Christmas dinner or her Christmas lunch.
No, I was at home, though. You know, I just...
You were there in body. Okay. All right, Tando, let's get back to the news.
Yes.
Let's get this hard, terrible news out the way of this missing Air Asia plane that has since been found. They haven't found the actual plane, but reports in the last couple of hours that are coming out suggest that up to 40 bodies have been found. Now, this was an Indonesia Air Asia flight. It was flight QZ8501, and this plane was an Airbus A320-200. Now, Tando, if you've ever seen an Airbus in person, it is a huge plane. Yeah. I cannot imagine that crashing into the ocean and the devastating effects on a human body inside that plane. 162 people on board. And if you just see the images of the families waiting around, I picture them in the airports because they all seem sitting on chairs crying. And it's just, I can't imagine being in that situation. But apparently, even though all the news around air traffic disasters that we've had this year, especially surrounding the two Malaysia planes that went missing and the one that was shot down, etc., apparently air traveling is still, the safety ratio is still rising. So although we have all of these stories, it is still safer to travel by a plane than any other way.
Yeah, but apparently as well, the weather played a huge role in this crash. So, I mean, as much as safety has obviously been bettered within the planes and stuff, it's, you know, like, we cannot control the weather.
Well, they say that it lost sort of communication with traffic control on early Sunday. Yeah. It was traveling from Indonesia to Singapore. And, yeah, then if you actually go onto a lot of the websites, they actually show you the route that the plane took and how it diverted, et cetera, et cetera. But then in the midst of all of this yesterday, there was a Virgin Atlantic plane also that had to make an emergency landing yesterday. Mm. So it seems that whenever these plane disasters happen, then all of a sudden plane safety is in the spotlight and stuff, and there's a big hoo-ha. But I suppose when so many people have lost their lives, we really just have to send our condolences to them and just hope. I really don't see any survivors coming out of this. I mean, if they've already recovered 40 bodies, I don't see anyone surviving.
None that are anyone's living and all of that. And, you know, to speak about the whole airplane missing and stuff, I mean, this year alone, how many planes have been missing?
Mm. Well, from my memory, there was the one that was shot down, the Malaysia plane.
The Malaysia plane. Which,
and then there was the one MH370 that still no one knows where it is. And there's all the conspiracy theories and et cetera, et cetera. But I think there have been a couple of other smaller plane crashes that I've heard reported on throughout the year. But I feel like this, you know, when the number of people goes into the hundreds, I mean, one death is enough. But this is a tragedy, and especially over the season. So a very sad story there. But I'm sure by the end of today, we'll have a lot more clarity on how many bodies have been recovered. It is a good thing, I suppose, that they have found the crash site.
Exactly, especially for the families.
Yeah.
You know, especially, I mean, it's...
Yeah. I would rather know. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying.
Exactly. I mean, I was glad, even, you know, not speaking about planes now, but with the Nigerian, the church,
the building collapse,
when they couldn't find the mother, I'm thinking, if I was the child, how devastating would it be for me?
I think
not being able to bury your own mother.
Exactly.
You know, there are mothers, there are sisters, there are brothers, there are fathers, there are breadwinners within that plane, and you know, it touches a lot of, you know, souls. It's not just, it's just a human being. It's just 40 people. Mm. It's not just 40. How many family members?
How many people
they're in contact? Yes. Yeah. You know, it's that much of a big deal. And that's why such things make such headlines, because it could be you.
Yeah. Do you remember, I think last year when the second Malaysia plane got, the one that got shot down, there was the guy before he got on the plane, he sent out that tweet and he sent a picture of the plane and he said, in case it goes missing, this is what it looks like type thing. And then, of course, it was shot down. And
they say sometimes you know when it's your time.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It gives you goosebumps to think that was the last tweet he sent out.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, you joke about it, but it really can happen to you. Anyway, let us move on and come back home, Tando. Gauteng road fatalities. The number is very high, but Transport Minister Dipuo Peters says that it is down by 35% since the same period last year. So 137 people have died since the beginning of December on Gauteng roads. The majority of them were not in cars, though. They were pedestrians.
Imagine. Mm. So what does it say to drivers? Besides, please be careful and don't drink and drive. What more must be said?
The pedestrians though? What is going on?
It's the drivers. I say it's the drivers.
You say it's the drivers.
Although, I mean, we all, even when you're not driving, it does not mean that you are not drinking. Mm. So you can easily be, just not careful enough and just run into the road and just think that this is your home.
Mm-hmm. I've seen lately on Gauteng roads, obviously I use them a lot, the highways mainly, I've seen more and more people walking on the side of the highway, and that is illegal as far as I know. And also, but how do you walk on the highway? Because I mean, how do you like jump over the barrier? You know, they have the concrete barrier all the way in the middle. So there is no sort of way you could be, unless you're walking from off-ramp to off-ramp. That's the only thing I can think, the only reason you would be on the highway. I suppose if your car broke down and you have to walk to a petrol station. Otherwise, I cannot see you to be traveling to work walking on the side of the highway. It is incredibly dangerous.
It is quite. And I mean, where would you be going? You know, and most of the time there are bridges. So if there's no bridge, do not walk. If there's no bridge, don't walk on the roads.
If you're trying to cross a highway, it's almost impossible. There is no break in the traffic on a Gauteng freeway.
But I mean, Jono, you could be just, somebody just said, get out my car.
That's true. You could have had a fight with your spouse.
So how many people are having that?
Yeah. When your parents turn around to you in the car and say, I'm going to stop this car and kick you out.
Yeah, get out.
You never know. Maybe some people are serious.
I mean, I know stories of people that people actually be through this, especially females.
They're like, pull over, drop me off here.
No, like a guy would be like, get out my car. I mean, I know someone that happens to, so hey. It could be, but I mean, how many people? Really?
Things are real out here. Yeah. Anyway, nonetheless, we have all been urged to be careful, especially with New Year's tomorrow. I have seen the cops out in full force, I must say, especially the areas that I travel out. There has been a lot of police presence.
I'm afraid, I will admit this, I am so afraid to get out of the house on New Year's Eve. Like, especially in the evening when it gets dark, I just want to get home and lock myself. But I don't do that. I normally go to church. But when I come back, I'm like, no, I'll sleep at church. That's how I feel, you know, but it's crazy.
It's not worth it. You know, just the way I picture it, it's not you that will suffer when you die in a car accident. I just imagine my mom getting the phone call or my family getting that phone call. And that's what stops me from, well, I'm not saying I'm always the most responsible person, but in general, that is the thing that stops me, is picturing my family having to receive that news.
Imagine.
But of course, we just hope everyone is safe tomorrow. I'm sure there's a lot of parties around South Africa. Of course, in Cape Town is the main place, I think. But
yes,
Joburg
always,
this year, Cliff Central is bringing it back to Joburg. It is happening here. But of course, be safe. Rather stay over at your friend's place. Rather get an Uber.
Or rather be at Hard Rock and wait for the sun to shine.
Exactly.
And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not worth your life. So stay alert, stay alive. There is a very powerful advert doing the rounds on SATV at the moment. It's that guy talking about how proud his dad is of him. And, you know, his dad says this about him. And then just when you think it's going to be this heartwarming ad, right at the end of the advert, he says, and then I ruined it all.
Yeah.
And then you just like see the images, and it really is terrible.
And
it just makes
you
think.
It's that real.
Mm. And even if you don't lose your life, do you really want to spend the weekend in prison waiting to see the magistrate on Monday morning because you were a few sort of degrees over the limit? Mm. No, rather not. It's not worth it. Now, Thando, getting all the sad news out the way, we were speaking about this now. These three pit bulls that mauled a man to death on the East Rand. Now, this is very close to where I live. In fact, it is just up the road, so it really hit home for me.
Mm.
So three pit bulls got out of the gate in Germiston. Now, this is actually in Primrose, which is close to a primary school. It's an Afrikaans one, Laerskool Oosterkain. And the way I understand it is that this 47-year-old man who was the security guard was doing his rounds. The three pit bulls got out. The owner of the home was not home at the time, and they mauled him. One of them got shot dead by a bystander who was trying to help. So that pit bull was shot dead. The other two were put down later at the SPCA. What struck me as ironic about the story is that the two that got put down at the SPCA, their names were Satan and Psycho. So I don't know if what you name your dog can really impact their personality. But why do these things happen, and why is it always pit bulls?
But pit bulls and Rottweilers are obviously dogs that are known to be trained to be very violent.
But everyone who owns a pit bull says it is not true. It's the way you bring them up.
At home we have pit bulls, two American pit bulls, and they're not as, you know, crazy as these ones are. But they are known to be that way. If you train them, they'll be like that. And, I mean, we all have dogs for different reasons.
Yeah.
And it's just obviously now when there's that opportunity for them to run out, who are we to stop them? Like, you know, you can stop it, yes, but, you know, you can't, when you're not there, they get a chance. What must happen?
And that is true. Your dogs, I think, do behave differently when you're not
there.
They do. But also there's something about dogs in a pack mentality. Humans as well, we have that. When we're in a mob, when we're in a crowd, when we're angry, we're excited, whatever it is, that's when these things happen. Because I don't think these dogs would have done it if they were on their own.
If they're with the... if they had the owners, yes.
Well,
yeah.
The owner apparently is being investigated for a case of culpable homicide. So obviously, I don't know what they would charge him on, like the negligence, I suppose, that his gate wasn't properly secured. But, you know, it's sad that it was a 47-year-old man.
Yeah.
But it could have been your child, my child. You know, it could have...
But yet again, that man is probably a breadwinner. He was going to work on festive season and, you know, he's a breadwinner, perhaps. You know, like... Wow. I think people should obviously train their dogs to maybe attack people that are trying to rob your house, you know, yes.
It's a very thin line having an animal as a pet and then having an animal as your protection. And I think there's a very fine line in the way you train your animal. And
yes, yeah.
Yeah, sad story nonetheless. Now, someone who I grew up watching, my stepdad, of course, who sort of raised me, he is a F1 lover. Mm. So every Sunday afternoon and every Saturday afternoon, we had to watch the warm-up, the Grand Prix. It was this huge build-up to it, and I never cared for motor racing, but I grew up watching this man win every single race, I think up until 2006
exactly.
When he left Ferrari, Michael Schumacher.
It's the only name you always remember.
Exactly.
It's such, you know, in the F1 experience in life, honestly.
He has had a couple of close shaves with death. I remember he had a terrible accident and his leg was broken for a while.
Yeah.
I remember at that point his insurance was paying something out like $47 a minute that he was had his broken leg. But of course, the accident that he had last year on the 29th of December, where he was skiing in the French Alps, of course, and he had a head injury. Since then, we've had conflicting reports. I think the family and the management went very quiet, I would say up until a couple of months ago, where we got a good report coming out and he was spotted out with his wife, or there was some sort of photo taken with his wife. But the news that has come out since yesterday, being the one-year anniversary, is that he is a long way from being better. Apparently, he still cannot speak, but he is starting to recognize his loved ones. But his manager has said that there is a long road ahead. So I don't think that in his lifetime we'll ever see him coming back, making some sort of contribution. I don't know. I feel it was very sad the way he ended his career. He left Ferrari in 2006 and he left as champion. But then he tried to make a comeback and he was with Mercedes-Benz for 3 years, but he just wasn't the same. He was, it was just a very average. So I feel, I wish he had retired on that high note as opposed to coming back. But of course, this is a big hero to a lot of people. And you know, when you see someone so big fall, it just makes you realize how human you are.
Exactly. Just a few facts on Michael Schumacher, just to remind people what a legend he is.
Yeah.
He was born on the 3rd of Jan in 1969. His first GP Grand Prix of win was in Belgium in 1992. Mm. His last Grand Prix of win was in China 2006. His wins, 91, 155 podium finishes. And he won 7 championships, 1994, 1995, 2000, 2001, 2002, 3 and 4.
Sure.
That's what a legend of Michael Schumacher.
And it's strange when you see someone who's a race car driver, this highly dangerous career, and then something else like skiing is the thing that takes them out. It's very sad. But, you know, I don't know, a lot of people, would you rather have passed away in that situation, or would you rather live now as he has to live, where he's unable to communicate, he's unable to live with the dignity that he used to have, reliant on people? It's a tough one. I don't know.
It is a tough one. But as far how I grew up is that a life is a gift. So it just says a life. It does not say a life of, you know, with more descriptions, but it says a life is a gift. So the fact that his family, yes, are seeing him in such a devastating way right now, and, you know, obviously they're hurting, you know, but he's alive, you know, and just those moments. And the only thing you could you can have now is hope.
Yeah.
You know, and the sad thing about this is the fact that he was, it was a comeback. He was attempting to come back, you know, in in terms of the Grand Prix. So he had retired in 2012. And after the attempt to come back, this happened. So it's, you know.
Hey, I think the lesson there to learn is just to appreciate every day that we have with one another. Hey. All right, now, someone who is planning on doing that is Julius Malema. Of course, he tied the knot this Saturday or this week's Sunday?
This Saturday. It was on Saturday.
Now, I saw a pic of him and his beautiful bride. She really was beautiful. But also, what interested me more was the photo of his son standing next to him. I've never really seen a pic of Julius Malema's son. And he is a very family-oriented orientated man. The beginning of this year, or when was the elections? Were they in May? When did we vote? Anyway, elections 2014, you saw him holding his grandmother's hand in the queue the whole time. You know, he didn't want special treatment. He didn't want to be bumped to the front of the queue. And just how, like, he held his grandmother's hand, like, that really just hit home for
me. But he's always said, you know, his grandmother is his hero.
Yeah.
You know, so I respect that of him because I feel that especially once people are, once people get money and stuff, they start, you know, being different in some sort of way. And especially the youth, we don't much respect elders that much. And Juju is one person that's doing that. Like, you know, he's respecting his parents and his elders, and he will never be sorry for that.
I find that is something that is really distilled in African culture, is respecting the elders. And although I think coming from a white background, we are taught to respect our elders, it's more the elders within our family. Whereas if you see an elder person on the
streets,
we don't really
greet. We taught to, you know, to, if you see a lady holding quite a lot of things, you ask, you offer, should I help you? May I please help you? You know, sharing, caring, loving, giving back. It's part of Ubuntu, really. And we don't practice it as much now, but we should. It's something that we need to start getting to do again, you know. And Julius Malema is in the respecting his elders around him, because in the House of Parliament, it's a different story.
Oh, for sure.
But hey, and another person that was there was the UDM leader, Holomisa.
Bantu
Holomisa. And I was like, whoa, they folks. I mean, they, you know, they friends.
Well, the wedding didn't go off without controversy, of course. Yeah. Something had to be controversial. Now, the City Press is reporting that Malema didn't invite two of his closest friends. This is Collins Foromo and Jacob Lebogo. Now, apparently he didn't invite them because they are having some sort of dispute over finances. What that means, how they got that information, I don't know. But nonetheless, that is the controversy that came out of an otherwise smooth wedding. So, yeah, well, congrats to him, and I hope it's a long and successful marriage. But tell me, Thando, does Julius Malema only have one child?
I don't know.
Because I've only ever heard them speak about his son.
There was
controversy this year when he refused to take his son out of a private school after he had made those comments that all people in government should send their children to government institutions. So, yeah, but I don't know if
maybe
I would
do that.
Maybe
he only knows one. I'm just saying, you know, it could be not.
Yeah.
Maybe he only knows one and probably has fathered three.
Yeah, there could be other baby mamas around somewhere.
Yeah.
But now, let's keep it at home. And speaking of Julius Malema, of course, a province, when I think of Julius Malema, I think of Limpopo. Obviously,
Limpopo.
The EFF, of course, is the official opposition in Limpopo.
Limpopo. Yeah.
But now this, for me, whenever I'm sitting around with my friends joking, and if anyone is going to insult a province, they're going to insult this one. They're going to make fun of it. They're going to say, are you from Limpopo? Whatever, whatever. But apparently, Limpopo is the safest province in South Africa. The one that came in as the most dangerous, though, will surprise you.
Please. It's Johannesburg.
Nope.
What?
Western Cape.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, what? Cape Flats.
Well, I suppose Cape Flats, and is it not good? Khayelitsha. Areas like that, I suppose, would bring it up.
Hey, speaking of Cape Flats, did you know it's like Cape Flats is not necessarily like a group, like just flats type of thing? It's like one place. This is Cape Flats.
Yeah. So what are you saying? It's like it's actual area.
Like, no, but that's what I was told, and that's the thingy. But yeah, it's like they just mean like it's around, obviously, like Cape Town, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not one, like, this is the group of flats. It's not like a group of flats and this is it.
Oh, so it's
just
actually
like
spread
flats
out
in Cape Town.
Around,
yes, type of thing.
The city.
So the flats of Cape Town type of thing.
Okay, so it's not one designated area. This is the Cape Flats.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
I thought that was rather weird.
I think it's a whole other reality there. You know, I've only ever seen the Cape Flats on TV, and from what I've seen, it is riddled with gangsterism and poverty and stuff. So, I don't know. I think it's a whole other world that we live in, hey?
Yeah.
And I think.
Scary world.
Anyway, let's bring it back to Gauteng. We have emerged as the country's best province, of course. We have the highest rankings of economic growth, employment, and education.
Gauteng, this.
This is Gauteng.
Hala.
But now, the Eastern Cape, they are the worst in terms of service delivery. And this is measured by factors such as piped water and refuse removal. So I guess all the provinces have their sort of benefits and, you know, their weaknesses. But what's interesting is that even though the Western Cape is the most dangerous province to live, they, in another sort of report that has come out, they have the highest life expectancy. So if you live in Cape Town, you have a greater life expectancy than any other.
Contradicting, though.
Yeah, contradiction much. But I suppose that is just in terms of stress, and maybe they have a lot more fresh air. And what I've noticed about people in Cape Town is they are all fit, they are all healthy, they're all good looking, they all jog. So maybe that's why they have a higher life expectancy. Mm. All right, Tando, what you got there for us?
ANC Yolanda Boerter has passed on. She passed on Sunday. She's a fraud and corruption accused senior Northern Cape ANC official. And she served in Parliament's Social Development Portfolio Committee. Mm. For those that obviously that don't know her. And she died at the new Crypt Medical Clinic in Kimberley on Sunday.
On Sunday.
Yeah, because we thought it was sometime this week, but Sunday.
And you say that they actually did say that she passed away from some sort of skin cancer that went into her brain.
Yes, metastatic melanoma. Yeah, that's what it's called. Mm. A skin cancer which spread to her brain. And it's obviously, you know, devastating for anyone to pass away, no matter which political...
Correct.
Party you are from.
Whatever affiliation you come from.
Yes. So, she passed away, which is sad news. And matric results are coming up.
Yes. 5th of Jan, if I'm not mistaken.
5th of Jan for private schools.
Uh-huh.
8th of Jan for public schools.
Okay.
Yeah. And in the 2013 matric results, 3% improvement to the matric pass rate. Mm-hmm. And we had achieved, Gauteng, we achieved a 73.9% pass rate, with only 26.6% of learners passed with university exemptions.
Sure. I don't know if
and
I'm happy or sad about those statistics.
You know, which sets of digits should matter more. Realistically, only 26.6% passed matric and will be able to obviously go pursue their careers. Mm. And careers obviously that fit right into our emerging knowledge based economy. Mm-hmm. You know, but even within that, 26.6%, not all of them will be able to go to universities.
Yeah, they're just the one who got the exemptions.
Yes, simply because we do not have enough universities to accommodate them.
So imagine, 73% of the students in Gauteng passed last year. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
But now, if
I think
those...
it's actually in just South Africa. Apologies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So overall, if those, let's call it 74%, had all got university exemption, we wouldn't have been able to fit them in the universities anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And a quick fact, right? Since 1994, there's only been 21 universities in South Africa.
And
if we're going to be celebrating success, then we need to be able to accommodate these successes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to build more universities. And I do believe that obviously two things obviously need to change. government should start taking education systems more serious. Mm-hmm. And we also need to take our education more systems.
I think the way forward is FET colleges. I think a lot of people look down if you say I go to sort of in brackets, community college.
Yes.
But really, the reality is the universities cannot support all the students coming out of matric.
Yes.
So I say FET colleges are the way to go.
Exactly. And it also depends what you want to study. Mm-hmm. You know, don't just, I know most families and parents, they want their kids to go to universities.
Yeah.
If your child wants to do something else, you know, maybe it's a college that does it better than this university, you know, in terms of better knowledge and getting work experience and work at the end of the day and be able to fulfill their careers and dreams. So, you know, as much as a parent wants their child to be successful, who said success only means going to university?
Yeah.
You know, what determines success?
In terms of whose view?
Yes,
yeah.
You know.
Totally understand you.
So it's something that we obviously as a nation need to, you know, understand. And I believe, you know, with our generation, we part of the generations whereby we can honestly be whatever that you want to be.
Yeah.
Our parents worked so damn hard for us to, you know, get us to wherever we are. And most of them, most even people our age are miserable in their jobs because they're doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. Imagine, Jonathan, if you were not passionate about doing what you're doing right now. Someone else that's passionate, you're wasting their space.
Yeah,
honestly.
Sure.
You know, imagine if that whole movement would happen and occur. Like, it would be marvelous. You know, it'd be marvelous. People doing their jobs right, because then we wouldn't be having problems in certain departments of life. You know, if the doctors were to be able to do their jobs proper, or nurses, or paramedics, you know, and we actually change the world in such a manner, in such a way, and policemen, if they did their jobs proper, you know, of course there are people that do their job proper, and because they're passionate. But what percentage of those are really passionate about that? And that's what's, it's quite important, especially the times we're living in, especially as a youth now. That's what they say, that we have the power, because we really do.
Yeah.
And if we don't use the power and the knowledge that we are fed, what is it for? We're all placed in situations for certain reasons, and we need to make use of everything that we have. And if you have the power to talk, why not do it? If you have the power to heal in a certain way and help others, do it. It's needed. You know, that's what this country needs. That's what Africa needs. And the world, really.
Yeah.
You know, we wouldn't be needing money and borrowing money and whatever it is in other countries and all sorts of situations and places. You know, like, there's so much change that needs to occur. And they always say, you know, change begins with yourself. And do right. Follow your dreams. It's, you know, it's not just a saying. It's not just a, you know, one of those things. Do it. It's something that that we all need to practice and need to do.
Was it Nelson Mandela who said it's always impossible until it's done?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the thing, hey. Like, a few years of study, and really it does take a lot of effort. But when it's done, you look back and it went so fast.
Exactly.
But I suppose not everyone's reality is the same. Not everyone has opportunities. And I suppose also when you bring in things like having a child, if you were to have a child at the age of 18, 16, whatever
and
it is.
Something so ridiculous. You can never be ready for that.
Yeah.
You can never be ready for
then
that.
Then you're going to be going out looking for the first job that comes along just to support your family and your child.
Follow your dream and your passion. Everything else will come afterwards. A lot of people obviously don't do this, obviously, because of finances. And it's really understandable, but once you get the time and the, you know, that slit to just get through and do what you want to do, do it.
Yeah,
do it.
I've been very motivated. I've been watching a lot of YouTube clips about the guy who won X Factor in England this year, and he was a van driver, and six months down the line, he's the winner of X Factor. He's a global name, you know. It's Ben Haynau. And that just shows you, from a van driver to your life can change. And also another very inspirational story I heard. You know the housing company Pam Golding that sells houses?
Yes.
That lady sold her first house at the age of 59. And now look at this company now.
Yeah.
So it's never too late to really do what you want to do and turn your life around. Hey?
Yeah.
All right.
I think we went too deep. Let's get into South African gossip right now.
Yeah, let's get some
soft news. Yes. We spoke about Petrus Motsepe and his wife Precious Moloi. Motsepe have bought a holiday home worth 69 million rand in in an exclusive suburb of Bishop's Court in Cape Town.
Good for them.
Dude.
Good for them.
And I'm just going to go through a list. Sunday Sun has a list of the best of celebs in 2014.
So what is this, a top 10 or what is it?
I think there's they've made 11.
So what are they based on? Is the best newsmakers in terms of that?
Yeah, like best of, you know, certain title. Like the first one is the best couple of the year.
Who got it?
No, you just give me one and I'll...
Oh, okay.
Just guess now, whatever.
I would say Bonang and what's his name, DJ?
And DJ Euphonic.
Mm.
I did hear the rumors of him...
beating her.
Inverted commas, you know, I'm quoting, marrying his baby mama.
What?
Yeah, something of that sort. Anyways, the best couple was AKA and DJ Zinclair.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, and guess what? It's DJ Zinclair's birthday today. Happy birthday
to that birthday.
Amazing soul. She's
both have been lovely here lady. At yeah. Cliff Central, of course.
Yes, and worst addressed?
Worst dressed celeb.
Buju Bigiwa.
No way.
Yeah, well, best dressed female, Pam Andrews.
Okay, all right.
Do you remember her dress that she wore at the Channel O Awards?
Oh, no, what did she wear?
She wore a dress that technically revealed everything. Like, honestly, it really revealed everything.
She recently had a fight with some other celebrity. I can't remember who it was, but there was a lot of news about it in the Heat magazine, I think it was.
I loved her when she was at 101. I mean, yeah. Anyways, the best dressed male was designer Paledi Sekgapo.
Oh, I thought it would have gone to Mats Moponyane. Like, for real.
Swiftly moving along. Drama Queen of the Year, Steve Hoffmeyer.
Oh, so over that guy.
Yeah. And Hunk of the Year, actor Andy Lekumbi. I think he's on Isibaya.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's on Isibaya. I stand to be corrected. Yeah, and Worst Soapy of the Year, yes, drum roll, please.
Generations, the Legacy.
Yes.
It's the new generation.
Yes, yeah, Generations, the legacy. That's the new generation.
It's only been running for like a month. How
and
can they say it's the worst?
The ratings have dropped drastically. And I mean, yeah, Fundi Vundla, my father, Vala Lindab. Best body, best body is Leanne Dlamini.
Okay.
Yes, I agree. Amazing woman. Trendsetter of the Year.
Senzo.
Yes. Senzo Mayo's dad, Samuel. For the wave Tando, out the car.
What was that whole thing, hashtag not Senzo's dad? I didn't get that. What was that about?
In the funeral, it was the memorial service of the funeral. He had his whole body out, right? He'd like wave out the car type of thing. Wave. Like,
okay.
It was like, hello, whatever. I think he was just trying to say people must make way or maybe saying people must, saying thank you to people and the thousands of, you know, the support, whatever it is, you know, I don't think.
But how did that come about? Hashtag
it was
not
funny.
Senzo's
you should
dad.
See it. You did see it. I'm sure you've seen people as well. Pop their buddies at the.
No, I never understood the hashtag, and then they were using it for everything else.
Yes,
hashtag.
Ted Senzo's dad. Yeah. And as well, the posing like a gangster, with his cell phone. I haven't seen that one. But yeah, it's all of that.
Okay.
And, Newsmaker of the Year, Ellen Shabalala.
Of course.
Yeah.
She resigned, what was it, last week or the week before from the SABC?
But she had to long ago. She wasn't supposed to get that job anyways. I mean, someone who has better qualifications or better whatever it is, that should be there.
But also she said, UNISA has the documentation, and apparently the documentation got stolen in a robbery.
Really?
But now it all...
Oh, really? Yeah. Coincidentally?
Rather I'm just sure. say I don't have the qualification.
I'm sure. And the best booty... Does not go to
Boise?
Yeah, does not go to that one.
Who did it go to? I'm thinking, is it South African? Of course.
South African.
Best booty. No, I can't think.
You would never. Tumisho Mashang.
What? You're joking.
This is, of course, from Sunday Sun.
Tumisho Mashang has his own show here, Black Life, and he was our choir master for Clifmas Carols. And what a guy, man. He's really on point with everything. And he's the first African to play Nelson Mandela. So he's doing big things. But
exactly.
In my mind, he will always be Dumisani.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And another thing is, one more. Former Muvango actress Sulufelo Mondeni is now a married woman. She played Meme on Muvango.
Okay.
Yes. She's married to Radio Jock and also businessman Chris Machaba.
How is Muvango? It's Mubango, ne?
Mubango.
Mubango.
So, yes.
How is it doing?
Ah, it's doing well. I love it.
Is Mama Mara still there?
No, she's not. Long ago, Jono.
She was like the main actress, wasn't she?
No. I don't know. I didn't watch it then. But she has not been there in a very long.
Really?
Yes. And another exciting season of season 4, Our Perfect Wedding, is coming back this Sunday.
People on Twitter love the show.
Exactly. And guess who the new host is? Comedian woman.
Comedian woman?
Yes.
I have no idea.
Dumi Morake.
Okay. Yes. She's doing so much nowadays. Yes. Radio, TV.
Yes. Oh, gosh. I love her. She's so funny and she's true. She's real. She's amazing. She must just rock it. And I don't have any doubts that she will not kill it. And yeah.
All right. Now, Tando, just before we run out of time, Times Live has released the Mampara of the Year as voted for by South Africans, of course.
Yeah.
And who do you think it is? For the third year in a row.
Yeah. Mr. Jay-Z himself.
Of course, Jacob Zuma. He got 90% of the votes. Who do you think came in second place? We've actually spoken about number two and number three very recently.
Julius Malema?
No. He's won it twice before. But
Steve Hoffmeyer,
second place. And then your final guest in third place, who do you think it was? We just spoke about her now.
Yeah, Ellen.
Ellen Tabalala, of course.
Are we not surprised? I think that's mother, father, and son.
Ah.
That's exactly what it is. Mother and father and son, Mampara family.
Oh, gosh. But it just shows you, like, Julius Malema won it twice in a row. Was it, I think, 2010, 2011, if I'm not mistaken. And now he's on top of the world. So I suppose you can't really judge them by this.
Yeah.
But anyway, Tando, thank you so much. It's been a great show. The hour always goes so fast. There's a lot more that we could talk about. But how can we keep up with you?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at tdaza, at T-D-H-A-Z-A, as well as on Instagram, same handle, at T-D-H-A-Z-A. Facebook, it's Tando T Daza, D-H-A-Z-A.
Oof.
Yeah.
So many ways to get hold of Tando. Cell phone number. All right, then, of course, myself, at Jono Sinclair. And then, of course, you can always hit us up on at cliffcentral.com. Instagram, Cliff Central. Facebook, Cliff Central. And, of course, the easiest way is on WeChat, Cliff Central. All right, now that is it for the Daily Maverick show for this week. If I'm not mistaken, myself and Tando will be back next week for the final time standing in for the Daily Maverick, unless they decide they want to come back early. But we love it nonetheless.
Oh, definitely. We'll be definitely back. Being great hanging.
Thank you so much. We see you next week.